Sunday the 19th of February 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Purpose-Driven Life. Sermon title, Made for God's Family, Part 2. Bible reading, Acts chapter 2, verses 29 to 47. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Acts 2, and I'll be reading from verses 29 to 47. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had needed. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Dave, for reading God's word for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that as we look through this piece of scripture, that you would indeed be with each and every one of us. Father, would you speak wisdom into our hearts? And Father, may the words that I speak be your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we continue our series on Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. So far we've looked at why we are here, made for God, and today we are looking at the second part of Made for God's Family. Rick starts this section with a quote from James 3:18 from the Message translation. And it says, "You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honour." So what does this mean for us? Well, I believe it means that real fellowship requires commitment, truthfulness and humility, which are not always easy to carry out. However, these are a must if we are to live in harmony, which is God's purpose for each and every one of us. We all need to work at being family, which will include many traits that we carry with us from day to day and our different personalities and peculiarities because we all have them. We know families can be strange and hard work at times, which can be a good thing because it develops our understanding and willingness to find ways to work together in love and peace, sometimes adapting to the different needs and expectations of others can be difficult for us to negotiate because we come from different physical families, which would include loving families, dysfunctional families, and everything in between. So our view of families may differ greatly. However, regardless of what type of family we grew up in, this morning I would like us to concentrate on our spiritual family, working alongside one another in God's church. We all have a responsibility in this spiritual family to help one another, which will include serving in many different ways. Take, for instance, how many times have we asked for folk to offer to make tea or coffee at this service, which with four people it would mean once a month, and with eight, once every 2 months. At the moment, we pretty much only have two volunteers, so they end up doing it twice a month. My question is to you, is that fair when we have 50 people at this service? And I'll leave that for you to decide. God's family works better when all its members are involved. God has put us together for all our benefits so that we can become a new and exciting family. It is God's desire for us to grow in fellowship, humility and truthfulness, treating one another with love and dignity. We are God's people, chosen by him, and are exactly the people he wants us to be, although we do not always live the life that God has chosen for us because our human nature sets in and we think we know best, which can cause conflict. Like any family, there will be times when we do not all agree, but how we deal with those disagreements matter. One of the things Rick Warren picks out in his book is speaking the truth, which is not always easy to do, especially if it causes a brother or sister pain. That, however, does not mean that we should not speak out and tell the truth. But how we do it makes all the difference. The Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. Solomon said, an honest answer is a sign of true fellowship. Sometimes this means caring enough to lovingly confront someone who is not living or acting in the right manner. But we need to be careful that we do not just pick on others' faults and fail to see our own shortcomings. Matthew 7:3 says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? We all have quirks or annoying traits, and we need to remember this. We are not perfect, even if we think we are. It's clear from Scripture that from the very beginning, God's purpose is to make us one big family that would never end, adopting us into his own family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 1:5 says, God marked us out beforehand to be his children. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, and thus bring joy to him, building a stronger faith in us as we are brought into this very special relationship, not only with God, but also with one another. Cultivating relationships takes time and effort. It's not built on overnight. We all have an important part to play. If we believe that we are all in this together, then we all have a responsibility to grow our relationships, continually meeting together on a regular basis. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, Acts 2:46. That's why home groups are so important, because it is in these small groups that real and deep, meaningful relationships are grown. And then when we come together as church, those relationships spill over into church life. What about the occasional services we hold, like the upcoming baptism service in March that will be held in the church hall in the afternoon, or the confirmations in May in the evening? Have you made these a priority and already put those dates in your diary so that you will be there to support members from your church family? We need to do more than talk the talk. We also need to walk the walk by getting involved, because we, that's you and me, have invited these people to become part of our spiritual family. So if you haven't already got those dates in your diary, can I encourage you to do so? Come, not because I'm asking, but because you are a part of this spiritual family, and therefore we are all invited. Will you accept the invitation? Fellowship and growth in our spiritual family requires an investment of time. Are you prepared to work at building strong relationships in all areas of church life, from the youngest to the eldest, across all nationalities and genders? Or do you just encompass those who are like-minded? A little later in this service, we will be sharing communion together. Why do we do it? Is it just about breaking bread together? Or is it also an opportunity to make our peace with God and one another? Matthew 5:23-24 says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother." Broken relationships can hinder our relationship with God. A significant amount of the New Testament is devoted to teaching us how to get along with one another. And Paul wrote, "If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if this love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, agree with each other. Love each other. Be deeper, spirited friends." Paul talked that our ability to get along with others is a mark of spiritual maturity, because if we can't love one another, then how can we show Christ's love to the wider world? Rick then goes on to speak about restoring relationships that have been broken. And I often speak with families who no longer speak with one another because of a falling out. More often than not, each party blames the other, saying it's not their fault and that they are waiting for the other to make the first move. Rick Warren says, "Always take the initiative, because it doesn't matter who's at fault, but rather it's what God expects of us, and that is to make the first move. So when there are different of opinions and we fall out of love with one another, how do we restore those relationships? It's clear that God wants us to value relationships and make every effort to maintain them. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Building this long-lasting unity is one of the Holy Spirit's important roles. He leads, but we have to be willing to be led and to do our part to keep peace with one another. And we do that by focusing on God and not ourselves. Peacemaking is not avoiding conflict, running from a problem, pretending it does not exist, or being afraid to talk about it, but accepting it exists and dealing with it. This does not mean that you need to be a doormat, allowing others to walk all over you, but bring the problem to God through prayer and confess your part of the conflict, because whether we like it or not, it takes two to tango. And more than likely, both parties will be at fault somewhere. The Bible clearly says in 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Confession is a powerful tool for reconciliation. We must remember that it was God who chose to give us different personalities, backgrounds, races, and preferences. So we should value and enjoy those differences, not merely tolerate them. God wants unity, not uniformity. And because this is God's desire for each of us, we must not let differences divide, but remain focused on what matters, so that when we move from this life to the next, we will already understand what it means to love unconditionally, because the one holding us together is God, just as Jesus promised in John 10:28-29. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Everyone needs and wants to be loved. And when people find a church where members genuinely love one another, they will want to stay and be part of that church family. So let's make sure St. Chad's is that place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we thank you that you call us to love one another, to remain in that close relationship, to serve you and to serve one another. Father, we recognise that there are many jobs to be done in your church, and there is a place for each and every one of us. Father, help us to recognise that place, and then help us, Lord, to be willing to serve. So bless each one of us and continue to grow us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.